Would he be better at Manchester United than Solskjaer?
Well, I'm only giving you my opinion. I believe so.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network.
We are discussing the future of the greyhound industry in the country. Very happy to say we are joined by Holly Carnes, Social Democrats TD, spokesperson as well for agriculture. And we have Gerard Dollard with us, CEO of the Irish Greyhound Board. You're both very welcome. Gerard, I might start with you. So the context, I suppose, here for the listener is that the greyhound industry came up in my conversation recently with on Taoiseach, and I was making a point about the very confused approach we have to sport in this country, not least when it comes to funding. So I was talking about Olympians. They get 2 million on the carding system per annum. I think Sport Ireland gets about 60 million to spread across 60 different sports. And I was looking at the Department of Agriculture, who give 19 million to the greyhound industry. And it was a point of comparison in a wider discussion with on Taoiseach. And we did touch on that 2019 RTÉ Investigates programme as well. Now, you were in touch with the show, and by all means, you're very welcome, and we do want to have the conversation. I think you want to defend the sport. I've seen you say elsewhere the greyhound industry has a good story to tell, and maybe that good story isn't being told enough. So why don't you kick us off in that vein? The floor is yours. Tell us about the good story maybe we're not hearing when it comes to the greyhound industry.
Thanks very much, Sean. Thanks very much for having me on. I suppose Greyhound Racing Ireland, we welcome any opportunity we have to put forward the strong case that exists for the greyhound industry. And I think you touched on it there yourself when you said compared it to another sport. Greyhound racing is more than a sport. It's an industry. It's very much a rural-based industry. It's a strong urban support base. It is run by a government agency. It is a semi-state body. There are a lot of people throughout the country that greyhound racing, the care of greyhounds, having greyhounds is their passion. And that translates into an industry, and there has been economic assessments done of that industry. We accept they're out of date, and we have commissioned Jim Power to do an up-to-date economic assessment, which is quite difficult in these COVID times. But we are absolutely satisfied that it is a strong industry. It has its challenges like any other industry, but it does get an unfair and probably not validly based criticisms at times.
What is the most unfair criticism, Gerard?
I think the most unfair criticism really is that greyhound racing is, if you like, second rate or not worthy of support, or is something that really people don't care about. I think it's criticised on the basis of the funding it gets. It's criticised on the basis of its care and welfare approach. It's criticised on the basis of doping and medication and the management of that, and all of those issues are issues in many other animal sports and even in human sports. So I think it's about saying to people that people have an entitlement to be involved in greyhound racing. It is a legally operated sport. It is run by an arm of government, which is Greyhound Racing Ireland, and people are entitled to participate in it. They're entitled to enjoy it. They're entitled to go about their business. And they shouldn't be subject to the level of anti-comment and bordering on harassment at times in relation to their participation in the sport.
And just one last one to tease this out, and then Holly, by all means, I'll bring you in. I asked you for the unfair criticisms of the sport. Surely the care and welfare issue and the doping issue are not unfair criticisms. They are extremely valid ones.
They are valid, but I think they're presented in a way which says that the industry, or Greyhound Racing Ireland, has been doing nothing about care and welfare, that it doesn't care about management of doping and medication, it doesn't care about the welfare of the animals, and that certainly is a criticism which is untrue and unfair.
Okay, we might come back to that and tease some of that out. Holly Carnes, do you want to come in and make your broad point on the industry and where it should go and where it is?
Yeah, thank you so much, Joe. I suppose we all know that the industry is rapidly declining, and, you know, to be fair, I think rightly so. Most of your listeners probably saw or at least heard about the RTÉ documentary Running for Their Lives that exposed that 6,000 greyhounds are actually bred annually. And it found that 9,087 of those are killed because they fail to make qualification times or their performance has declined. And then, you know, this year for the budget, for the 2021 budget, the government allocated a staggering 19.2 million to the greyhound racing industry, an increase of 2.4 million during a global pandemic. So basically, when you kind of zoom out, the industry kills almost 6,000 dogs annually for not racing fast enough, and the government funds it. And I suppose, setting aside the animal welfare concerns for a second, not that I think that we should, the greyhound industry is a loss-making industry that is also hugely unpopular, or, you know, more and more so unpopular. Attendance at greyhound racing tracks actually fell by 55% between 2008 and 2018. And the combined loss for tracks between 2019 and 2022 is predicted to be 30 million. And between 2001 and 2020, over 260 million of public money has been given to the commercial greyhound racing industry. So as you know, Joe, and all of your listeners, there are sports clubs, community pitches, and animal welfare organisations that couldn't hope to get that kind of money. It's, I think, six times more than all of the animal welfare charities combined. And, you know, the IGB and Joe just spoke there about employment and support in rural areas, and I'm all for that. I'm from West Cork myself. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority of rural people, of farmers and fishing communities, could think of many preferable things to spend a quarter of a billion on. And, you know, at the same time this money's been poured into the industry by successive governments, there was a kind of catalogue of appalling practices and declining public support. The Greyhound Board's own anti-doping and medication review, published in 2016, found long-standing and significant deficiencies in policy processes and implementation that have been undermining the integrity and reputation of Greyhound Racing Ireland. Another IGB document conducted by Preferred Results in 2017 stated that the industry in Ireland was not focused on the sport of greyhound racing, but on the breeding. And it found that the industry was failing from both a commercial and a regulatory point of view. And that same report found that the industry produces 10 times more greyhounds, as we know, each year than required to sustain the sport. And it was that report which highlighted the lack of traceability of almost 6,000 dogs. So it's from, you know, the greyhound racing industry's own reports that they've been commissioning, and the state funding has kind of facilitated this cascade of bad practices and really horrific acts. I think anyone who saw the documentary, it was like really harrowing footage of dogs' ears being burned off so they couldn't be traced, that kind of thing. And also, just to put this into a broader context, we are only one of eight countries that allow greyhound racing. The industry is near closing in Mexico, one of the ones that still has it, and it's banned in all but five states in the US and is significantly contracting in Britain. And a 2019 Red Sea poll in Ireland revealed that only 16% of the population actually agree with the state funding this industry. And, you know, we saw big sponsors publicly pulling sponsorship for the industry after that documentary. So I suppose that's just the broader kind of when you zoom out and look at the industry. But I do just want to quickly address what Jared said about this kind of, you know, anyone who speaks out against this industry and the kind of financial basket case around it is kind of anti-rural Ireland. And this blows my mind, because Ireland needs investments in sustainable jobs, and the greyhound racing industry being a loss-making industry that generates massive amounts of public disquiet, you know, really isn't the kind of sustainable jobs we're looking for. That's the, you know, epitome of instability. And to claim to have a kind of monopoly in rural Ireland and that greyhound racing is the lifeblood of it is quite frankly ridiculous. And I think insinuates that just because you're from a rural area means you're not able to understand the facts somehow or other.
Gerard, I'll let you come back in on lots of that, because there's a lot in what Holly said. Let's jump in, though, to the headline issue from, say, the RTE Investigates programme. And it's what struck a chord with everybody, and it's what made a lot of people, I think, stop and say, this is unacceptable. This can't continue. And how has this been happening? And this was the report commissioned by your own board, which you didn't choose to publish and you didn't give to the Dáil. I think you cited commercial reasons. And then, according to the RTE programme, when it became apparent they had it and were producing this documentary, it was then that you published it. So there was a sense of a lack of transparency there. But the headline figure, 16,000 greyhounds bred every year in Ireland, and we are overbreeding. We are probably the capital worldwide when it comes to overbreeding. So of those 16,000 per year, 6,000 are culled or disappear, frankly. So that's 16 per day, 115 dogs per week. There's a line on the below-cost dumping of dogs in the UK in that same report, and it says the below-cost dumping of dogs in the UK is ultimately underpinned by Irish taxpayer money. which is a stark line, I think. So the cost dumping of dogs in the UK is ultimately underpinned by Irish taxpayer money. And what this report said as well, and it cost, I think, about 100 grand, it talked about pup control as being out of control, the overbreeding. From an animal rights perspective, this issue, quote, could threaten the very existence of the industry. Again, this was the report that you commissioned and the RT Investigates programme got hold of. I know traceability is improving, and I'll give you a chance to talk about that. However, $250 million given to the industry over the last 20 years. How did this situation continue? How did we get to a point where 6,000 were being culled every year?
Okay, there's a lot covered there, Joe, in terms of what you said and what Holly has said, and maybe to try to take issues one by one.
Yeah, let's go overbreeding. Overbreeding. This is a kernel issue, because this 6,000 dogs a year, the Irish taxpayer can't stand over that. So let's get into that one.
Okay. Couple of things with overbreeding. Firstly, if you look at the number of dogs that are named every year, I think since 2010, they've reduced by 23%. It used to be 16,400 back in 2010, okay. And in 2020, it was 12,900. So I think there has been a reduction in breeding, and in many ways, market forces, and as care and welfare tightens and regulation tightens, obviously you will see a reduction in breeding.
Okay, so just because that's an important point. So we're down from 16,000 a year down to 12,900 now.
Yeah, but the other point to make sure is Greyhound Racing Ireland have no control in relation to breeding. So I think if Ireland Inc. wants to control breeding, well then laws have to be brought in relation to probably the breeding of any animal in terms of restrictions and controls and how many you can breed, because probably the same argument could be made in relation to puppy farms and things like that. But we're happy in the greyhound industry. There has been a contraction, and market forces and other activities have led that. If I could come to the 6,000, and I think in previous interviews, Joe, you would have used the phrase DLH 6,000, which I think is a suitable phrase. Mm-hmm. And it is alleged until such time as the traceability system is up and running. Greyhound Racing Ireland have looked for this for the last number of years. There are a number of phases to it. First was legislation, so the Greyhound Racing Act 2019 is there. The second was to get the system developed, and we went out to tender on that in 2020. COVID has caused us some problems in the commissioning of it. But the front end of it was brought into effect in January. We now have resets for the RASIA Conairn traceability system. And we will be ramping up that to the further phases in terms of people have been brought into the system, they have their passwords, they know what they have to do, and then we will follow that up in relation to enforcement.
Okay.
So I think by the end of this year on a full 12-month cycle, we'll have a much better picture of what dogs are unaccounted for and what dogs are accounted for. And okay. That's what traceability is about.
Okay.
And we are absolutely happy to have that. One thing I want to deal with, and I think the phrase financial basket case has been used, and Holly has...
Well, do you know, we'll come to that in 1 second, sorry.
Yeah, but
Holly, okay, on that point, on the increased traceability and on the drop, is that an acceptable move? Does that start to move this industry towards something anyway acceptable in your eyes?
Look, sure. I'm delighted to hear Jared saying there that there's a reduction in the number of dogs bred. I'd like to see where that's documented. I haven't seen anything like that, and I do keep a close eye. And I'm wondering, Jared, if it's now down to 12,900 bred, how many dogs are being killed? What's the reduction in that from 6,000? If we've gone from 16,000 to just under 13,000, what is the reduction in the number of dogs being killed? Or how many, untraceable that weren't exported to Britain or whatever. And I suppose just it is important to note that I welcome any improvements in terms of traceability. It is one of the biggest disasters in this sector. But it is also worth noting, Joe, that when this legislation was coming through the houses, all of the amendments from opposition parties, and this is before I became a TD, so I wasn't there for it, but all of the amendments to try and make the traceability more robust and compulsory were rejected by government and not included. So there's still plenty of measures we could take to try and improve on that. And I'd encourage Jared to lobby for that from government if you mean what you say.
Yeah, and I think the traceability system is their job, because the Board of Governors that then was would have gone to an Oireachtas committee and actually in 2016 sought traceability. But because of the legislative process, it didn't become into law until the Greyhound Racing Act of 2019. So it's something we wanted, it's something we now have, and it's something we intend to drive and to enforce.
Sorry, Joe, do you have an answer in relation to that? How now we see the reduction in the number of dogs being bred, how many are untraceable? Yeah,
just on the reduction in the number of dogs being bred, and I think this information was provided to Holly in a parliamentary question, which showed the breeding figures from 2010 up to 2020. So the reduction of 22% is obvious. how many are called as a result of that until the traceability system is fully up and running and active. That information won't be available. And as I said earlier on, that until the system runs for probably a 12-month period, is fully operation, then we'll be able to give that information.
Can we get to a point, well, I mean, look, I'll do the simple math that everyone's just doing at home. We're still saying about 3,000 dogs are disappearing off the face of the planet at the moment. I mean, that's the obvious answer as things stand. If you're using 10,000 previously when it was 16,000 and 6,000 disappeared. Can we get to a point, Jared, where we're getting that number right down? Because I just think human nature here being what it is, people want to win races. They want the fastest dogs. That's the reason for the overbreeding. What can you do to eliminate that? And I mean, eliminate that.
Yeah, and what we are doing to eliminate is traceability is designed to do that.
And people so will that do the job? I mean, are we going to be talking in a year's time or 18 months' time and we'll be down to 10,000 bred and 10,000 ewes territory?
Yeah, in 12 months' time, there are a number of phases to this process. Mm-hmm. The system is in, the next stage is enforcement, the next stage is a set of statutory regulations, and people will have to account for every single greyhound. And we might as well be honest here.
Yeah.
You probably will find there will be some greyhounds put down. And there are actually good health reasons at times why a greyhound has to be put down. But we have strongly advocated that a greyhound should not be put down unless done by a veterinary practitioner, because they are the person who can best judge whether a greyhound should be put down or not. But there will be some greyhounds put down. There's no doubt about that.
Sorry, this documentary was, I think, aired in 2016 or something of that, right? What year was this documentary?
2019.
What has been the hold up? Like, you're talking about, oh, now we're going to be starting to introduce traceability. Like, and Greyhound Racing Ireland, or formerly Bord na Gan, have been aware of this for longer than the general public. And now you're talking about slowly bringing in traceability and all of these things that you need to do in advance of that happening. Like, that's just quite simply not good enough, particularly when the state are funding this to the tune of a staggering 19.2 million.
Yeah, no, I think I just answered that, Holly. We looked for it in 2016. It took a number of years to go through the Oireachtas. The Greyhound Racing Act was adopted in 2019. We went out to procurement in 2020. The system is in development in 2020 and was introduced in January 21. But there has to be a cycle of activity. The system fully up and running, everybody absolutely committed to it and participating in it. And then we will have all the information that you require.
And I suppose you can understand why the general public, why there is disquiet about this, when the vast majority of the general public don't want this to be funded, don't want it to be continued. And then, you know, these changes are taking so long. Like, of course, the industry and its huge management team could have been doing stuff in the meantime while this legislation was being sorted out and while the amendments to make it more robust in relation to traceability were being rejected.
Yeah,
There's absolutely loads that you and your management team could be doing in the meantime. What has been happening?
I think it's a stretch, Holly, to say the vast majority don't want greyhound racing. We operate in a democracy. When the matter was put before the law, I think the vote was 94 votes to 57. Clearly, the elected representatives represent the people, and there is a very strong support for greyhound racing. So it's not correct to say the vast majority of people don't want it.
Well, the Red Sea poll would show that the general public feel like that, but I share your observation around elected representatives and their strong desire to continue to fund the greyhound racing industry. And it's something that I've thought about quite a lot, because I remember when I was first elected on Cork County Council, and there was a motion before the council to, you know, for the council to provide extra funding to try and keep a greyhound stadium alive that was, you know, kind of failing. And I was the only Cork County councillor to object to this. So we didn't even have a vote. And no, sorry, I'm not finished, Jared. And then, you know, when it came to this round, when, you know, I became a TD and saw this happening again, I've always been baffled by the state funding for this industry. And, you know, raised it again and said, look, at the very least, we shouldn't be increasing the funding by another, you know, 2 point something million, increasing it to 19.2 million. And all of the TD, and so I heard Micheál Martin on this radio show recently as well, saying that there was only kind of half-hearted attempt from opposition. And he'd be right with regard to the most of opposition, but certainly not for my party. Mm. We used one of our very few private member slots to try and reverse this increase in funding. But interestingly, you know, what I have realised from being on the receiving end of the lobby group for the greyhound racing industry is that you are a very strong and very impressive lobby group. I will give you that. And all of the TDs and indeed senators and all of the parties seem to believe that this is, you know, this absolute vote getter. And perhaps it is to a certain extent. And there's, you know, lots of people who like going to the tracks, even though we know it's rapidly declining more and more and more. And the vast majority of public don't want it. You guys have a very strong lobby. And that really shows in the House of the Oireachtas, because it doesn't actually make any sense when you look at the Red Sea poll. And then you say, you look at the House of the Oireachtas, where the, you know, they're all representing that population who carried out that poll, who took part in that poll, and it's not represented. And I think that is something that really and truly comes down to it being a very effective lobby, and it will give you that.
The Red Sea poll, just for listeners, was conducted in 2019. So how many people agree the government should continue funding the greyhound industry? 16.16% of Irish people agree that they should continue to fund it. Just to move this on.
Just to deal with that, the Red Sea poll was commissioned by the Irish Council Against Blood Sports. I previously mentioned the journal.ie poll, which suggests 60% of people are in favour of funding.
In fairness,
sorry, it doesn't matter.
I don't want to get into arguments over polls.
I know, but we should.
I think
say,
we have to, because that's misinformation.
I think, Jared, in fairness, Red Sea conduct professional polls, and a website having a survey doesn't meet the same standard. So look, fairness, why don't we commission another one and let's see. But we can agree to disagree on that one. But I think Red Sea commission professional polls, and a survey on a website, you know yourself, lobby groups can stare that around. People who are very active can try and ram up support. So that doesn't really stand up to scrutiny, that point.
Okay, could I just make one comment, Joe?
Quickly, because I do want to talk about the doping and the welfare issue at large, because we're just focusing on deaths at the moment.
Hallie has mentioned the vote in the Cork County Council. I think she was the only councillor who voted against, and she mentioned the vote in the Oireachtas. That in itself is a poll, if you like, and it's a vote, and it's a valid vote. And on the other side, we're being told we're a dying industry, but yet we're being told we're a very strong lobby group and very strong. The two don't reconcile with each other.
They do. Look, they're not mutually exclusive, to be fair. I do want to move off this. And look, geez, I mean, if everyone in the street agreed with everything all the politicians voted for, we'd have a very different world. So I'm not sure they do necessarily represent everyone in the street. But I do take your point as well.
It's a democracy job.
Well, yeah, I know. But in fairness, Jared, you'd have to say, I don't think everyone who knocks on every door is asked their opinion on the greyhound industry. I think issues like housing and other issues come up, and then they have to vote on all sorts. Can we move this on then? Just the welfare issue, because in that documentary, for instance, the treatment of these animals was a huge cause for concern as well. The ones that run, like the ones that survive the cull, Jared, and doping is to the fore here. There was a veterinary surgeon on the programme, Finbar Heslin, and his accounts, anecdotal as they were, but I'm sure he's a very respected veterinarian surgeon, were appalling. He was talking about dogs turning up, many dogs, with so much EPO pumped into them. He said their blood is like treacle. And he was saying it's a very sophisticated situation out there as well. It's a veritable drugs cabinet. There are drugs to counter the side effects of other drugs. It's all about short-termism. There was a Tony Walsh, chairman of the Greyhound Owners and Breeders Federation, on. He's left the sport for this. This being one of the reasons, talked about no improvements. It's only going one way. And there was a Freedom of Information Act by the programme where they got onto the Department of Agriculture, and all the doping products seized over the previous 3 years, 80% of them came from premises linked to greyhound trainers. So it's a really serious, worrying aspect of the sport. And I've seen the sport come out and say, well, look, we conduct tests and, you know, 0.3% of those tests have adverse findings. For me, that's more worrying. Like Lance Armstrong never failed a test. It's really worrying if that's what you're standing behind. So this issue of doping in the sport, you're not, I would put it to you, all the evidence suggests it's widespread and you're not on top of it. How many owners or trainers have had their license revoked in history, Jared, over this issue is the first question. You can come back on the other stuff. But for instance, how many owners or trainers have had their licenses revoked because of doping?
I can tell you in the last 12 months in 2020, four people were issued an exclusion order for where they're prevented from being at a greyhound racing track or being involved in the sport.
Okay, so they can't own or train dogs at
all. They can't be involved in the industry.
And that was due specifically to doping?
To unauthorized remedies and that type of thing.
Okay.
Can I just pick up on the number?
In total, Jared, how many?
I have to go and get you the figure in relation to that.
Okay. The answer is one. The answer is one in history.
I wouldn't think that's correct.
The last 20 years.
I wouldn't think that's correct.
Okay. The RT Investigators Programme said it was one in 2015. So how many would you think it is?
In terms of exclusion orders, they can't be involved in the industry. So that means automatically they can't have a trainer's license.
So how many would you think on this issue, on the issue of doping?
I would say if you go back over the last 20 years, you're probably looking at 10, 15 in total between exclusion orders and trainer's licenses.
Being revoked. Okay. And are those exclusion orders permanent?
Well, under the law which stands, the person involved can apply to have them revoked, and at an appropriate point in time, the board will consider that, whether they revoke the order or not. So they are permanent until they're revoked.
Okay.
But can I just deal with some of the, and you threw out a lot of things there.
Yeah, you can, of course, yeah.
Yeah. We did 4,251 tests last year. I know you don't think that that is valid, but we have expanded our testing regime to include blood sampling as well as urine sampling.
Yeah.
We have an independent process where anything we find is published. It goes up on our website. Mm-hmm. It's clearly obvious to people as to what has been found, and it goes to an independent control committee.
Yeah.
We have invested in laboratory equipment, over 400 grand spent there a couple of years ago. We're buying another new machine this year. We will say absolutely we've got on top of the doping and medication in the greyhound industry. And I would actually welcome the fact that 86% of all seizures related to greyhound activity, because it shows we are intent in stamping it out. And anywhere we do find unauthorized animal remedies, and we work with the Department of Agriculture on this, prosecutions do follow.
Okay.
And exclusion orders follow as well.
Holly, Jared says there they are on top of it now.
Just, yeah, and a quick note in relation to, like, we constantly hear the Irish Greyhound Board disputing the facts in relation to the RTE documentary. And I just think it's important to note that after the documentary was aired, Greyhound Racing Ireland, or Bordnagan at the time, filed a complaint to the Broadcasting Authority. The Broadcasting Authority investigated it in full and found that it was a comprehensive exploration of a topic in a factual manner that was fair, objective and impartial. So I just think it's always important to note that when we hear the facts in relation to that documentary being disputed. And I suppose, you know, those small measures that Jared spoke about are very welcome. And I think people would be happy to hear that, but I think it just quite simply doesn't go far enough. I think the government funding this by 19.2 million, you know, despite the public outcry following the documentary, despite the fact that the industry still relies on overbreeding now, even years after that was released, despite the continuation in, you know, a really lax approach to dealing with the doping. Like I said, I welcome those small measures that you made, but it's simply not good enough. And despite the fact that only 16% of Irish people want this to continue, and it's probably even less now if we did get that other Red Sea poll commissioned. You gave out about the financial basket case. There is no other way to describe this. And being kept alive by generous state subventions, just throwing a blind eye at the industry's failings consistently. And since this is a sports program, I think it's just really important to maybe emphasize how much that funding could do for other sports. And, you know, one of the things I've always heard in relation to a defense of this funding is that, you know, it's kind of it's ring-fenced from the levy from the gambling in relation to this industry. And, you know, important to note that if that was how this worked, then soccer would get 40% of all betting levy, because 40% of bets are placed on soccer related bets.
On the viability point though, Holly, I mean, the government do support lots of industries that are not making profit,
but not ones that are inherently cruel and have such appalling overarching standards of care, to the extent of, you know, 6,000 dogs being culled annually. And, you know, after a few years of that all being exposed, we're still probably looking at 3,000 plus. It's probably being optimistic. Mm. So it's a very, very different thing. And when you talk about, you know, creating jobs and whether it's sustainable and what that kind of gives back to communities and all of those things, like, I understand what you're saying, that it's not always about profit and economic viability. That's kind of why I reference other sports and other, you know, community services that could be invested in. Imagine that money going into pitches, into our Olympians, into there's so many things we could do with this money.
Jared, I'll give you a final word maybe just to wrap up this conversation. So,
well, I want to deal with the financial basket case issue, Joe, which I've asked to deal with a number of times there.
Yeah, if you could very quickly, I've about a minute here, all
that's
in.
Fine, yeah, so just Holly quotes the figure of 30.5 million in 2022, which is a complete misrepresentation of facts. The Indicon report on the greyhound industry is on our website. They did a number of analyses. One of them related to if prize money wasn't paid at any track for the next number of years, there would be an accumulated loss of 30.5 million. Clearly, if prize money wasn't paid, we pay about 9.5 million a year. The tracks wouldn't have the money to pay for it. So it's a theoretical figure. The correct figure to quote is the cumulative loss to 2022 based on an accelerated decline in attendances would be 0.5 million. And that's in the Indicon report as well. So there's misinformation we put out here, and it's one of the reasons why we wanted the opportunity to correct some of what's being said about the greyhound industry.
Okay. On the future for the sport, I mean, it is under pressure worldwide, as Holly was alluding to. I saw in January in Florida, it was made illegal as of January 1st this year, Florida being almost the mecca for US racing. I think it had 11 tracks. So the sport is now illegal in 41 states. I think there are four tracks left across the entire country, whereas in the late 1980s, there were 60 tracks. So really in America, the sport is pretty much on death's door. I think in New Zealand, there's been a massive scandal there the last couple of days over crystal meth and greyhounds. And so it's under pressure there. I think it is under pressure here, Jared, and attendances have gone down. I know lots of people love their greyhounds and love their greyhound racing as well. So your optimism for the sport?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think all animal sports, Joe, are under pressure. That's, I think, fair to say. People have a different view as to how animals should be treated in society now than they would have felt 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah.
From our point of view, the Greyhound Racing Act of 2019, it's a brand new piece of legislation. I doubt if an act like that would have been brought in if the industry was going to be indemnized in a few years' time. But right across the country, we have 14 tracks. There's a lot of people, the social side, the cultural side, the economic side, that rely on this industry. It is their passion. It is their sport, and they want it to continue.
Mm. Holly, last word.
I mean, ultimately, we know that if there wasn't such generous state subventions, that the industry would have already declined. And I think important to note the special treatment that it gets. So it's the only example, aside from the carbon tax, in the Irish public finance of ring-fenced taxation, where one sector or group is absolutely guaranteed an income from a specific tax revenue. That doesn't go for any other sport, doesn't go for people with mental health challenges, homeless people, you name it. It is literally just the greyhound racing industry. And I think it is to the great dismay of the vast majority of the general public why there is such special treatment for a declining industry with such overarching appalling standards of care. And Jared, that is not to say that I think that all greyhound owners or people who take part in the industry treat their dogs poorly. Absolutely not. I've had so many phone calls from people who used to be in the industry, used to be involved in it, who have remove themselves from it or distance themselves from it because of these overarching appalling standards of care.
Okay, folks, we'll have to leave it there. I know that was a robust debate. I want to thank you for not interrupting each other and jumping in. I'm sure you were tempted many times to do so. It's good to tease out these issues in a calm way. So Jared Dollard, CEO of the Irish Greyhound Board, thank you. And Holly Carnes, Social Democrats TD for Cork South West and spokesperson for agriculture. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Cheers, take care.
The OTB Podcast Network.